Reading God's word from Ephesians chapter 6, we'll read verses 1 through 3. Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Amen. Let's pray and ask God's help with his word. Our Father in heaven, we ask that you would send the help of the Holy Spirit, that you might deal bountifully with your servants, that we might live and keep your word. Shower upon us grace, that Christ may be exalted. In his name we pray. Amen. So we come to these words in Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. I can imagine things like this going on during the sermon from parents to children. Are you listening? This is for you. I can imagine things like that happening this whole sermon. Poke, poke, poke. And I would say two things to that. First, remember that some of you still have living parents. Some of you still have living parents, and this applies to you. Although Paul's words are primarily, I think, to younger children, what we would call children still living in the home, the structure of obeying your parents and parents training their children and nurturing them seems to suggest Paul has in mind mostly younger children, but he roots this in the moral law. Parents, or children, honor your father and mother. It still applies all the days of our lives, all the days of our parents' lives. And so we should come to this text with a lot of humility. Sometimes we expect more from our children than we ourselves gave or give to our own parents. And we need to think seriously about that. But I would say, secondly, that verse 4 goes on to speak to the parents. And so next time we come to Ephesians, your kids can be doing the same thing. Your kids can be doing the poking and the glances. God's word here addresses both parents and children, and that's extremely important. It addresses both. Often we focus on parenting. You can have bookshelves full of books on parenting, but it's strange, isn't it, that there are no books on childrening. I have a book on my shelf, parenting. I have no book on my shelf, childrening. Now, that's strange because often we think that parents have to deal with their children all the time, but they have to deal with you just as much. It's hard to be a child and to grow up. It requires the same amount of grace as parenting does. And Paul here, it's important that he addresses both children and parents. Remember that this is to the church in Ephesus, the saints in Ephesus, and here he is addressing the children. He expects children to be in the gathering of the saints, as this letter would have been read in the public gathering of God's people. Children are part of the church of Jesus Christ. And so, in a way, every time we gather at 11 a.m. on Sunday morning, it's children's church. The messages are for you, children. The gospel is for you. You are part of the church of Jesus Christ. You are included. You yourself, children, have a calling from God that you are responsible for. It's important that God addresses the children here. And the way that God addresses each member of the family is beautiful. It's a wonderful gospel picture of a gospel-invaded home. Wives submitting to their husbands in the Lord. Husbands loving their wives as Christ loved the church. Children obeying their parents. Parents loving and nurturing their children. And when the gospel invades the home, relationships within the home become fruitful. They become fruitful, God-glorifying homes. But it is true that sometimes the pattern that Paul lays out here is broken. These are meant to be two-way streets, reciprocal relationships within the home, between husband and wife, between child and parent and child. Sometimes this two-way street is broken. And it's sorrowful. It's sorrowful when this becomes a one-way street, when it happens. It becomes immensely difficult and complicated and sorrowful to fulfill what God's word says to us. As I was studying this passage this past week, I came across this someone saying this, and it's sorrowful. This person commenting on these verses said, "From my own experience and observation, no text has done more damage to abused children than the words, honor your father and mother. I know that those words tormented me as a child, and I believe they have tormented others." See, sometimes it can cause grief, these words. It's tragic and it's sad when this two-way gospel street turns into a one-way gospel street. But there's good news here for us. There's good news for each one of us. It's not meant to be abusive. It's not meant to be oppressive. But it's meant to bring true freedom to us, to all of us, to children, to adults, the freedom that Christ himself has purchased for us. So I have 4 points that I want to make from this text. The first is, what does it mean to honor? What does Paul have, what does God's word have in mind when he says, honor? Well, first, I would say it's not because of performance. We do not honor our parents because they are honorable. Sometimes they may not be very honorable. We don't do it because of performance or because of some qualities. We do it because that's the position that God has placed them in. That's the position. That's, you could say, the office that they're in. And God himself has placed them there. And in his providence, he has ordered our lives in this way. In his providence, he has given us the parents that we have. It's not because of performance. But isn't that already a wonderful gospel truth? That God does not honor us because we're honorable. God does not place dignity on us because we're dignified, but simply because he chose to love us. So this is not because of our parents' performance. So what does it mean to honor? Well, the Hebrew word honor means to make heavy. And when it's used for people, it's to regard someone as weighty. Not physically. We don't regard someone here as physically weighty, but as weighty. We don't really use it for people so much, but we use it for topics, that this is a weighty topic. It's a topic with a sense of gravity and a sense of seriousness and importance, that this is a weighty topic. We've got to pay attention here. This is important. And that's the sense with honor, that we're to treat our parents with a sense of seriousness, of importance, of weight, of high regard. To honor is to treat with importance. Not as light, not as if they didn't matter. What's really the symbol of treating someone as light? I think it's sticking out the tongue. It's like whatever, you don't matter. That's not what God's word is calling for. It's calling for to treat our parents with a sense of weightiness, because this is who they are in God's providence. This is who God has set them as. Not to treat them as unimportant, as undignified, as in a shabby way. We're called primarily to show honor to God. We're called to treat God in a way that he deserves, as in a weighty way, of utmost importance. And here, in a comparative way, we're to treat our parents with that sense of honor. But what particular ways can we show this weightiness, this honor? Well, I think Paul gives one of the primary ways here in verse 1. He says, children, obey your parents. Honor does not always mean obey, but obedience is an aspect, is one way that we honor our parents, through obedience. Proverbs 1:8-9 says, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. Proverbs 1 doesn't mean there simply hear, right? Because often children hear exactly what you say, but they don't really listen. Hear, my son, your father's instruction is take to heart and follow it through. Heed the instruction I'm giving to you. Forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. Obedience is one of the ways that we show honor to our parents. Of course, that changes as we grow, as we mature, as we become adults. But it still applies in the sense of heed their instruction. Listen to it. Hear it. Take it to heart. Don't simply ignore it. Don't brush it aside as if it was unimportant, as if it didn't mean anything. Obey them. How do I honor my parents as a child? Obey them. Listen to them. I think a second way that we show honor is through a sense of deference or respect. We live in a society, in a culture, in a world where deference almost doesn't exist. Everything is informal. Manners have seemed to be thrown out the window. In some ways, that's fine. They're cultural expressions. But we need to remember that deference, that respect, is due to certain people. And it's due to our parents, a sense of respect, of esteem for who they are, for who God has placed them and the position God has placed them. There's a respect and an esteem that we ought to show to our parents. I think another way that God's word gives us to show honor is through faithfulness to our parents. This is emphasized especially in the Old Testament for ways that we care and provide for our aged parents. It's emphasized over and over again. Proverbs 19:26 says, he who does violence to his father and chases away his mother is a son who brings shame and reproach. The word for violence there is a word that's used for despoiling someone of their goods. So it could be translated, the one who despoils his father of his goods is shameful. The one who chases away his mother, who deprives his mother of support and care, brings shame. Proverbs 28:24 says, whoever robs his mother and his father and says, this is no transgression, is a companion to a man who destroys. It's a serious thing. Proverbs 20:20 says, if one curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in utter darkness. We're to provide for our parents even when we are out of the home. It doesn't stop. This honor doesn't stop. Ezekiel condemns the Israelites for doing this. In Ezekiel 22, behold, the princes of Israel in you, everyone according to his own power, have been bent on shedding blood. Father and mother are treated with contempt in you. The sojourner suffers extortion in your midst. The fatherless and the widow are wronged in you. Think of all of the wonderful examples we have in the Bible of children honoring their parents in this way. Think of how Joseph cares for his father, making sure he has provisions. Think of how Ruth is faithful to her mother and provides for her mother. Think of how David provides for his parents as he's on the run and his parents are forced to come with him. He makes sure they have what they need. He makes sure they're safe, that they have food and the necessary things that they need. Providing for our parents, even in old age, especially in old age, is one of the main ways we honor our parents. Provide for them. My favorite Charles Dickens character is the aged in Great Expectations. If you haven't read that, then someday you'll just have to read that. The aged is the old father of Wemmick, and he can't hear anything. And he can barely walk, he can barely see, and yet Wemmick cares for him and provides for him in such an amazing way. And he calls him the aged, which is just such an amazing name for a father. It's one of the ways we honor our parents, caring for them, providing for them. I think another way that we can show honor to our parents is through gratitude. Gratitude is at the very heart of honoring, being thankful to them, and showing our thanks to them. We don't often realize our own unthankfulness until we see it in our own kids, don't we? We usually don't see that. Parents, with some exceptions, but for the most part, parents give so much for us and so much to us, their whole lives. We ought to be thankful, but it goes more profound than that, gratitude. In the family, we find ourselves in all kinds of bonds that you didn't choose. Other than the marriage relationship, every other relationship that flows in the family is one that's not chosen. You don't choose your kids. There they are. You don't choose your parents. They're there. They're given. You don't choose your siblings, although sometimes you wish you could. You don't. The family is a place where things are simply given, where you're placed into bonds that you didn't create, you didn't set in place by some sort of contract. You're placed into bonds. And we might want to say, why would I be thankful? Why would I show gratitude to my parents? And I didn't choose them. I didn't want these parents, or I didn't want these siblings. Why would we be thankful? This parent-child relationship reminds us of the bonds that God places on us, and it reminds us that all of life is a gift. That there's a givenness to life that you didn't create, that you didn't construct, and that you didn't put together. You simply find yourself here. It reminds us at heart that we are creatures. If you ever want to be reminded of that, just look at your belly button. At the nature of life. You didn't give yourself life. You didn't bring yourself into this world. All of life is a gift. And we are creatures through and through. And the proper response to being creatures is gratitude. To thank God for simply giving us what we have. And so we're to show our parents gratitude. Gratitude for the life that they give to us. In the home, as we show gratitude to our parents, we are learning to show gratitude towards God, towards his gift of life. And so we're to honor our parents. Secondly, what is the style of this honor? Well, Paul goes on to characterize what he says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. In the Lord adds a whole nother level to obedience. It adds a whole nother serious level. It's not simply about your relationship with your parents. It's never simply about your relationship with your parents. It's about your relationship with Jesus Christ. Remember that the yes, Jesus loves me. Jesus is between you and your mom. Jesus is between you and your dad. Jesus is between you and your family members. Honor and obedience to to your parents is not ultimately for the sake of your parents. It never is. It's for the sake of Christ. It's for the honor of Christ's name. In Colossians, he adds this wonderful little phrase, "Obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord." It's about pleasing the Lord. That's what it's about. This places limits on our obedience to our parents. Obedience is never absolute. If our parents lead us into sin, or if our parents lead us away from Jesus Christ, it is not honoring them to obey them. Deuteronomy picks up on this, and God says, "Do not go the way of your parents. They forsook me. They went a different direction. Don't follow them." And so there's limits on our obedience to our parents. But in the Lord shows more than that. It shows our attitude. It shows how we are to obey them. This is part of your service to Jesus Christ. This is an expression from the heart of the fact that I love Jesus and I want to serve him. So I'm going to do this. See, it's not about the relationship between parents and children. It's about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's about following Christ and seeking to please him. It's possible, isn't it, to obey without honoring? It's really possible. It's really easy to obey without honoring. But honoring, obedience in the Lord, means that we can't do that. That it needs to be from the heart. And parents can't force honor. It's not the position of the parents to enforce honor. This is the work of the Spirit in the child, bringing about this honor, bringing about this desire to obey in Christ Jesus. Ultimately, this obedience is Christ-like. It brings us directly to Christ. The family is a school of Christ. We don't often think about that, do we? That the family, that my relationship to my parents, and my parents' relationship to me, and my relationship to my siblings, is a place where I am to grow more like Christ. Where we learn to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Where we learn things like patience and long-suffering. Children, you will have to be patient with your parents. You will have to show immense patience with your parents. You'll have to show forgiveness. Your parents, here's the news of the day, your parents are sinners. They are sinners, and they will sin. They may even sin against you, and they will fail. And they will do things that are unwise. It requires patience and forgiveness. To honor our parents means that we will have to endure much, which brings us directly to Jesus Christ. We need the grace of Jesus Christ to honor our parents. We need to become more like Christ to show the forgiveness that we need to show the patience, the long-suffering, the humility towards our parents. We need grace, the grace of Jesus Christ. Honoring our parents is part of the spiritual battle that we're in. It's never merely a thing of obeying. It's part of serving Christ. It's part of seeking to please him. And so we're to honor our parents in the Lord. Third, honoring our parents is very important. I was going to say in this point that honoring our parents is a life or death thing, but that would be a little too shocking early on in the point. So we'll stick with this. Honoring our parents is very important. Remember in the Ten Commandments that the Ten Commandments are given to God's people. The Ten Commandments is about freedom. What does the redeemed life look like? What does life as people who have been freed from slavery look like? It looks like following these things. It's a life freed from slavery This is about life that Paul is talking about, that God's word is talking about. Honor your father and your mother. He gives two reasons or two motivations. He says that this is right. That is, that the word that he uses is righteous. That this is something fitting, that this is the way that God has made things. And when you fit into this pattern, it's righteous. It's right. It fits. But he also says it's the first command with a promise. And there is so much debate about what these words mean. Some say, is it really the first command with a promise? Because the second commandment seems to have a promise. If you do these things, God will show mercy to you. Or they say that this is really the only command with a promise. There's no other command with a promise in the Ten Commandments. Or they say that this might mean that this is the first commandment with a promise, means not first as in the first one that comes, but the first of in importance. That this is the most important command with a promise. Whatever view someone takes, and there's good defense of any of those views, but whatever view, we can be certain of this, that this command is very important. It's very important. God has placed parents in a place of authority to train and to instruct children in the ways of God and to love and to nurture them in the ways of God. And the relationship between a child and a parent reflects the relationship between us and God. That's why this is so important. It's rooted and it reflects our relationship with God. Leviticus 19 speaks to this. Leviticus 19 verse 2 says, "Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Do not turn to idols or make for yourselves any gods of cast metal. I am the Lord your God.'" You see the connection. Revere your father and your mother. Don't turn away to other gods. Our relationship with our parents is reflected and is reflective of our relationship to God. We get a similar theme in Deuteronomy 21. "If a man has a stubborn or rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, will not listen to them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gate of the place where he lives, and they shall say to the elders of the city, 'This is our stubborn and rebellious son. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard.' Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear." I'm glad the discipline isn't like that anymore. Imagine if you continually disobeyed to your parents and they say, "Well, all right, son, bring you to church," and you get stoned. That's like the equivalent of, you know, you disobey and your mom opens up the closet here, son, and pulls out a guillotine. That would be shocking. It's so important, this command, because it's reflective of our heart position before God. And it's so connected with idolatry that if you stray from this, you will turn from the Lord your God, because your heart at root is rejecting God's authority. The importance doesn't go away in the New Testament. When Paul is describing all of those sins that characterize turning from the Creator to the creature, one of the sins he lists is disobedience to parents. In 2 Timothy 3:2, he describes the sins of the last days in this way. People will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. It's the same connection that he's making there to idolatry. People will be lovers of self, not lovers of God. You see, it reveals a heart that has taken God off the throne and has put ourself on the throne. It reflects our relationship to God, and to reject this, to not honor our parents, is in the end simply foolish. Proverbs 15:5 says, "A fool despises his father's instructions, but whoever heeds reproof is prudent." A couple verses later, "Whoever ignores instruction despises himself, but he who listens to reproof gains intelligence." Proverbs 23:22 says, "Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old." See, this command is so important. And it's a command with a promise. It's a command with a promise that has promise both for this life and the life to come. We can see all kinds of ways that this promise is fulfilled in Scripture. Heeding the words of those who have gone before us, especially our parents, not despising reproof, not despising instruction, seeking wisdom and seeking instruction leads to a life well lived and blessed by God. As kids, the universal thing is our parents know nothing. That's just the default. My parents have no idea what it's like to live life. They have no idea what I'm going through. They've never been through anything like this. Mark Twain said, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much he had learned in 7 years." That's how we feel. Wow, you get to an age, you're like, wow, they know a little bit. They know some things about life. They know a little bit of what I'm going through. It is wise, and it leads to a life well lived, to listen to the instruction, to hear the words, to heed the words of our parents. This is the way that God has made it. This is the nature of the covenant life that God has placed us in. So children, learn early. Learn early to listen to your parents, to heed their instructions. God himself tells you to do this. And there's promise in it. There's reward from God himself. But I think there's far more than that going on here. The promise isn't only for this life. It's for the life to come. And so, fourth and finally, this command is so important for us because it points directly toward life with God and toward life with God. It points us directly to the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus, to the good life that's promised in Christ Jesus. Freedom is at stake here in this command. That's what it was in the Ten Commandments, that freedom is at stake. Is if you stray away from this, you'll go back into slavery. Because your parents are meant to direct you to the gospel. Your parents are meant to instruct you in the ways of the Lord. And if you stray from that, you'll go back into slavery. This is about freedom. All of us, each one of us, are face to face in this command with the true freedom in Jesus Christ. And it brings us directly to the authority and the will of God and his honor. Submission to authority since the fall has never been easy, has never been our natural instinct. It is not our natural instinct when someone tells us what to do to say, okay, thank you. It's not. It's not the natural instinct to willingly place ourselves under authority. We want our own way, don't we? We want to be our own little gods, decide and create and to set out our own path before us. Sin makes us think we know better. Sin puts me at the center of the world. We're all born with an allergic reaction to obedience, to allergic reaction to honoring someone else in authority over us, to being told what to do. That's one of the reasons Christ came. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, Christ died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. One of the reasons that Christ came and died was to deliver you from the bondage to yourself. One of the reasons that Christ came was to decenter you from your own throne that you set yourself on and put him there. And say, no, you are not the king of the universe. You are not the king or the queen of your life. I am. And that's true freedom. Children, it is never freedom, never, to go our own way. It's not. It's never freedom. It's never liberty to go our own way. Self-rule is the delusion of Satan. It's not the way to freedom. The way to freedom and the way of freedom is in Jesus Christ and serving him and living for him with everything we have and obeying his word and living according to his word. That's where freedom is. It's only Jesus who by his grace can break that chain of self-rule, can break that chain of autonomy that we so tightly grasp to, that it's my way. I'm going to do what I want. Living for Christ, living for the honor of Christ is true freedom. So really this command is about freedom. Honor your father and your mother. Because ultimately, we must honor God. We must honor God. And by honoring our father and mother, we learn what true freedom is. It's honoring Christ. It's serving Jesus Christ, who gives us life. Let's pray. Our Lord and God, we rejoice in the life Jesus Christ has purchased for us. And so we pray that you might help us to serve him, to not live for ourselves, but to live for him who for our sake died and was raised. And as part of that, help us to honor our parents. Be merciful to us, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.